Exodus 16:1. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the word, we'll read 4 verses and I'll let you be seated. I hope that you prayed today. I think that prayer should be a daily thing, not only a trouble thing, not just when you're in trouble. He said, pray this, give us our bread, our daily bread. So you have to pray to get the bread, right? If it's not a daily prayer, it's not daily bread. So I hope that you pray. But I want to talk to you not so much about your prayer tonight, but I want to talk to you about your answers, how you perceive your answers from God. Exodus 16:1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. Now that's not the act of sin, that's a place, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the 2nd month after departing out of the land of Egypt. So it's a month and 15 days. On the 15th day of the 2nd month after departing out of the land of Egypt. They actually left Egypt on the 15th day of the 1st month. So we are actually 1 month, are you with me, into the desert. 1 month into the desert. And the whole congregation of Israel, children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in the land of the Lord, in the hand of the Lord, in the land of Egypt. Died by God's hand in their land. Wow. When we sat by the flesh pots, here's why. Because back there we had flesh pots and we did eat bread. Everyone say bread. We did eat bread to the full. And I'm starving out here. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain, say bread. I'm going to rain what they are asking for, but I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Every day they'll gather a certain rate that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. I want to teach or preach for a little while tonight. It's not what I had pictured. It's not what I had in my mind. I thought when I prayed, I thought I knew what the answer would be. This is not what I had in mind. Lord, I come to you tonight because your ways are above our ways and your thoughts are above our thoughts. And Lord, if we could ever rely on you and trust in you, as David said, in thee and thee only do I trust. If we could ever rely on your word to be our answer, Lord, we would never fail. For David said, I hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Bless us tonight as we try to get out of the pictures of what we have in the past and look to you for all of our answers in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. After 400 years of bondage, the children of Israel were so happy to be liberated. Now, obviously, I don't think any of them were 400 years old. I don't think any of them had lived 400 years, but it was a generational thing that now not only will I be free, but my children and my children's children will be free. And the Bible says that when they crossed the Red Sea, it said, then sang they the songs of Zion. You know, then they could sing praise the Lord. They couldn't sing that when they were in bondage. And when they were in Egypt is a type of the world. And they couldn't sing those songs when they were in the world. But when they got free and they got liberated, they found themselves on the other side of the Jordan and the Red Sea. And the Lord told them, the enemy that you see, you will see no more. Boy, I tell you, that's a blessing right there. And they were just so happy as they sang, and Miriam's got the tambourine. They're all singing about these songs of Zion, and they're so liberated. But what they didn't realize, that liberation was not really what they had pictured. Being free causes you to have responsibility. When you were in bondage, someone served you. Someone fed you. See, they said, I remember we had this and we had that and we weren't starving. But when you're free, you got to get up in the morning. You got to make it happen. And so the Bible says that when the children of Israel left Egypt, they left out harnessed. Harnessed. Think of it, an old mule that's harnessed. He's pulling the wagon. He is ready to go. They left harnessed. They had gold. They had silver. But listen close. They had 30 days of food. That's what the Bible's telling us. Why? Well, they're going into the wilderness. Look like you would need more than 30 days of food. The truth is they only needed 11 days of food. Because it was really just an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. But because of their murmuring and unbelief, they stopped at places and God had to do miracles and they murmured and complained that they turned this 11-day journey into eternity. You might say, well, eternity, how is that? Well, some of them went to eternity because they never got there. And for others, it was 40 years. But for some of them, it went into eternity. And so we find that a few days' journey into the wilderness, just a few days, they needed water. And they came to a water hole and it had bitter water. And they call that place Marah, which means bitterness. It's what Naomi said, call me that, because she was bitter. And the Lord, they began to murmur against Moses, and the Lord told Moses, cut a tree limb down and throw it into the water, and the water turned sweet. Right there, they should know that God can provide. What does God have to do for you today for you to realize if He provided for you back then, He can provide for you tomorrow and the next day and next week and the rest of the journey? What does He have to do? And He provided water for them and turned it sweet. Yet they still murmured about not having anything to eat. And so they go 1 month into the wilderness. Now, instead of 11 days, we're on a 1 month, and they run out of food. They run out of food. And they did not understand that liberation means you have to go out and get it. You have to make it happen. And the children of Israel once again murmured against Moses in the wilderness. And this is what they said. Would to God that we would have died in His hand back in the land of the world. All because we were filled, we were full of them. And what happens so many times when you come into the liberation stage when Christ, you see, we're to be in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. But what happens many times is freedom is not what you thought it would be. Many times people come to Christ thinking, now all of my troubles are gone. And you'll find out sometimes you had more troubles than you had before you were trying to make your way to God. And all they could remember was the loaves and the bread to satisfy the hunger. They forgot about the whips and the taskmasters and the labor and the hard things that they had to do. Somehow, some ways, we worry more about our stomach than we do other parts of our flesh. And so they went back and began to think about the loaves of bread. Now, if I ask Brother Cercello to think about a loaf of bread, I know what kind of bread he's going to think about. It's going to be Italian bread. He's going to think about a big loaf of bread and some butter and garlic, sprinkled on it. And some of y'all, it may be brown and served rolls. It may be a bunny bread. I don't know what kind of bread, big hoagie or whatever. But in your mind, when you think bread, you've got something already pictured in your mind. And so they're picturing, boy, I remember back in the day we had the flesh pots. That bread, that was some good bread they used to cook back then, you know. I remember them yeast bread. You remember that? They used to put it in a little cloth over it and warm it, and it'd swell up. It wasn't much when you got through, but it sure tasted good. And so they were sitting there remembering all of the things of the past that Egypt had to offer them. Now listen real close to me. It seems that when people finally get liberated and things don't work out, they start looking back. They backslide, right? And that's what was happening. They were beginning to look back instead of looking forward to the promises of God. They looked back to what men could provide, the familiar, if you will. And so they began to murmur and say, I wish I had some of that bread. And they could picture it in their mind. And so in back to verse 4, it said, then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread. You ever heard of rainbow bread or bunny bread? I want to rain bread. This is rain bread. I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. Whoo, my Lord. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them. I like fresh bread, whether they will walk in my law or no, or not. It's, oh boy, I can't wait to get some of that bread in the morning. Lord, it's going to rain bread in here. Let's go in our tents, because they had to go into obscurity for this to happen. And they went that night into their little tents, and they're going to wait for the bread to fall in the morning. But what they didn't understand, listen, what comes from heaven doesn't look like what's on earth. He said, I will rain bread from heaven. It didn't rain loaves of bread or Italian bread or brown and served rolls like you thought. Because that's what you were used to. That's what the world provided for you. And I'm preaching to you, because many times we think about the blessings of God being what we think it is by the world's standards. They begin to think about the bread that was made in Egypt. And they didn't understand that what rains from heaven is never like what the world has. No, it's not. They didn't understand that even though it rained bread, they would have to go out and get it. He said, I want you to go out and get it. And they didn't understand that they had to get it a certain amount every day. They didn't understand that what God was doing with his answer to their prayer was proving them. He said, I will prove them to see if they will walk with me or not. And God is proving somebody today whether you're going to live for me or not. Answers from heaven. Answers from heaven. Boy, I need heaven to open. I need an answer from heaven. But they never seem to match earth's questions. They never seem to match. But I'm here to tell you that what God is doing when you pray and he answers, we need to recognize the answer. Because if you're not careful, it will not be what you had in mind. Watch close, 14th verse. And when the dew that lay was gone up, dew came down first, manna came down, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar or the white frost on the ground. I had a picture, and I meant to bring it to you, of what someone pictured as manna. It was really neat, and I meant to bring it. Because you would also say, I thought you said bread. Because it didn't look. It was a wonderful picture. Maybe if I have time, I'll bring it to you. The dew would fall. Now listen to me. The dew would fall. They're in a desert place. And the dew would fall to cool the ground. It was preparing for the blessings of God. The dew is always symbolic of the anointing falling. And there's no blessing comes without an anointing. Every blessing, good gift, cometh from above. He's the one that sends them down. But anointing always precedes it. Anything that God does, there's a preparation to receive it. And so the dew would hit the ground, and then behind it, as it would cool the ground, this is just Bagot talking, that the manna would come. And then when the dew would be vaporized, what was left was the blessings of God. And what they saw was not what they had pictured in their mind. It was this small, round thing they had never seen before. But I'm here to tell you that thing came from heaven. Whether you've seen him work like that or not, or you already thought you knew how he would work, or you thought you knew the answer before you prayed, or you thought you knew how he would answer. I'm here to tell you, your ways are smaller than God's ways. Your vision's not as good as God's vision. God knows the beginning from the end, and you need to trust his answers. Israel had pictured in their minds that they would see the same kind of bread that they saw in the world. Fill us with their bread over here. He said, no. No. I don't have time to go into this. We don't have time to read it tonight. But it even described that small round thing as having almost no flavor. It was, can I tell you this? A new lump. We're back to that again. It was unleavened. It was from heaven. It first comes down pure, the Bible says. It's men that add the butter and the salt and all that to it. It first came from heaven, and it was pure. And so many times we pray, but when God answers, it doesn't match. I'm telling you, when you pray, I'm probably no different than you. When you pray in your mind, you already kind of think you know how God's going to answer. But you're going to pray anyway, but in your mind, you got it pictured how God's going to answer this. But I'm here to tell you, it's probably not what you pictured. It's not what you thought was going to be the answer. But can I tell you, just like them, God is proving you. You prayed, and you said, what is it, Lord? Lord, what is happening around here? And so many times God's answers and his blessings are wrapped around difficulties and troubles so that unbelievers will never get to them. I said something there. God puts his blessings around confusion sometimes, not that he's the author of confusion, but to the world, they say, it ain't worth it. I'm not going through all this to get that. But the people that trust God's answer say, I don't care what I got to go through. I'm going to be here if I'm the last one standing. So help me, Lord. I'm going to live for you. They all can leave me. All can forsake me. But Lord, you can count on me. I'm going to stay in this thing. And so you have this made up mind. Unbelievers won't go through what a Christian will go through to get to the blessings of God. So God is smart. He wraps his answers and blessings around this. What is it? I don't know if it's worth it or not. I wish I was back. Well, go ahead. The problem is, that you know why they didn't go back? I've told you two or three times. Do you know why they wouldn't go back? Because the Red Sea wouldn't open again. That's why they wouldn't go back. Verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it's manna. It's manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, you know, manna means what is it? Moses said unto them, wait a minute. Don't you remember yesterday that God said, I will rain bread? And the next day you look at it and say, what is it? He told you ahead of time, I'm going to answer your prayer. And when he answered it, you said, that ain't it. Because you already had in your mind what that answer would look like. So when you saw it, you rejected it when that was exactly what God was doing to see if you prove you, to see if you trusted him. I imagine they got a stick. Roll that thing. You taste it. No, I ain't tasting. You taste it first. I don't know about that. But David got a taste of it somewhere along the way, and he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So even though the Lord told them, tomorrow I'll rain down bread from heaven, and you will eat till you're full, just like you did then, they didn't recognize it. Because they had already pictured in their mind what God was going to do. Can I help somebody tonight get that out of your mind? You don't know. He said it this way. The Holy Ghost is like a wind. It blows the direction it wants to. It blows the way it listeth. and no man can tell from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. You need to pray and accept what God sends your way. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. They prayed, they got it, and they said, what is it? And I wonder how many times you prayed and you got it. And you said, what is it? You prayed, God, I need a job. And you got it. And you said, what is it? You got it. God, I need a husband. And you prayed and you got it. And you said, what is it? You prayed and you got children. And you said, now what is it? Everything you pray for, when it comes from heaven, it doesn't look like you thought it would look. It doesn't act like you thought it would act. Woo, hallelujah. Because heaven is heaven, my brothers and sisters, and heaven will prove you to see what you're worth. Will you follow me or not? If you've got to have that bread back there, honey, go swim back, because I'm not opening up the Red Sea. But if you want to follow me, this little wafer right here will take you to the promised land. This little bitty thing right here called, you calling manna, what is it? It came from heaven. If you'll just swallow it, I'm telling you, it'll bring you to the promises of the land. This little thing that has no flavor will bring you to a land that flows with milk and honey, and you get figs and fruit and everything else, but you got to swallow this to get to that. Woo! Too many times we had Ariel for today, and she'd touch, and everything she'd eat, she'd go, you want to taste it before I eat it, you know? And I'm afraid that's what we do too many times. We just, oh no. God didn't put any flavor in it. That way you can't say, well, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too salty, it's pure. It's pure. How many of you like pure water? Absolutely. All right, let's go on before I run out of time. They asked Moses, what is it? And Moses replied to them, Lord, this is the bread that you prayed for that came down from heaven. And verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eatings, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take it every man for them which are in his tents. Remember, he said he'd take it at a rate every day. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he had gathered much, had nothing over. So he that had gathered much, he had nothing over. Wanted it all consumed just like the sacrifice. And he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. They could be full, but there's nothing left over. That's what I like about God. He said, he that hunger and thirst, let him come unto me. I know he said, and he'll never thirst again, right? Isn't that what he said? But what he means is, by that, too many people say, well, I drink one time and I don't ever have to come back. No, what he's saying is, when you get thirsty, I'm still here. You'll never be thirsty again for the things of the world, because I will keep filling your desire. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Now watch close. This is what you prayed for. I want you to take it up. Don't leave any of God's blessings on the ground. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. Sounds like a pastor and his saints. And it bred worms and stank. Let me tell you, God's blessings will turn on you. Sometimes the very thing you pray for, if you don't rejoice in the glory of God over it, it can be your downfall. God can bless you immensely with things of this life, and then you get so carried away with the things of this life, you don't live for God anymore. And they'll turn on you. And it bred worms and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Let me tell you, God's blessings will vanish away. They'll go away. You'll wonder what happened. You need to follow the instructions. This is God's blessings. And when God blesses you with something or anything, you need to leave nothing of it left, And you need to take all, when you remember all the miracles he did when they broke the bread and they picked up the fragments. Don't leave anything behind. You'll need it later. And what this is telling us today, in the morning, you could pick it up. Don't leave it. If you do, try to keep it overnight. The worms start stinking. The sun comes up, it melts it. Here's the message. Get it while you can. Get it while you can. There's too many people that will dilly-dally around with, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do this. And they get old and they go, man, I just got too old to do anything for God. I just don't know. And they missed it. They missed it. And so you better get it while you can. There's no telling how many times God has answered your prayers and you didn't recognize it because you had something else in mind as to how he would answer you. But things that come from heaven are never the thoughts of carnal minds. They're never the thoughts of carnal minds. You might remember the voice that came from heaven when Jesus was baptized as John the Baptist. You remember that? And it said, and a voice came from heaven. Only John the Baptist recognized it. The rest of them said it thundered. See, they didn't recognize it because they had in their mind something different. Israel prayed for a Messiah to come. And he came. But they didn't picture him coming in a manger. They didn't picture him coming from a virgin. So they rejected God's answer to their prayer. They rejected the thing that could save them. And I wonder tonight how many times, if we're not careful, we reject the things we've prayed for. The Jews came to Jesus and said, show us a sign that we may believe thee. Our fathers did eat bread in the wilderness till they were full. He said, Moses didn't give them that bread. I did. It came from their father, and they perished in the wilderness. But I am the true bread that cometh down from heaven, that if a man eateth of me, he shall live forever. Ooh, hallelujah. And they didn't recognize it. Because their prayers was, we're going to get a king and he's going to have a robe and he's going to have come in on a white horse and all these kind of things. And they missed it. Sometimes you have to be the janitor before you're the CEO. Sometimes you got to work your way up to things. Sometimes getting fired is the best thing that ever happened to you. I changed jobs at 35. From a doctor to what I do today. The world thought I was crazy. They said, what's wrong with you? You spent 8 years going to school and 10 to 11 years practicing, and you're going to quit? Yep. Because God had better plans for me than just filling teeth. It had a time and a place in my life. But when the Lord answered my prayer, I had to move on. How many of you realize God is proving you? He's proving you. He's proving you. Will you follow me or not? As they come tonight, we need to be careful lest God's answers confuse you. See, when God answered, he told them, tomorrow you'll get bread. And he answered, and they were confused. What is it? I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Well, that's the bread that God... It can't be. It can't be. I'm afraid too many times we pray, listen close, Lord, save my children. Save my children. And when they get in trouble, Lord, get them out of trouble. Lord, spare them. Come on. There ain't nobody going to shout over that, but it's the truth whether you like it or not. Because God will put trouble in people's lives. He let them run out of bread in 30 days so they'd have to cry out to him. They'd have to depend on him. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for your children when they get in trouble, but you need to say, Lord, help them get through this. So many times if you keep bailing people out, they never learn.
If Moses would have said, hey, we got a delivery truck coming, don't worry, it's coming in. Bring that Egyptian bread in. Come on, they're hungry. God would have never had a chance to work. Are you still, am I still your pastor tonight? So be careful when you pray and God answers that you don't pray away what you've prayed. The Jew failed, the anointing failed, the manna came, and then came the sun. And if you didn't lap it up before then, it was going to be gone. You better get it while you can. That manna would sustain them until they could get to the full blessings of God. To drink out of wells they didn't dig and eat out of fruit trees that they didn't plant. I have learned not to have any preconceived ideas about what God's going to do next. Because anytime you preconceive what God's going to do next, you'll get confused. Because I thought, see, Naaman goes to Elisha because the little maid told him about this guy who could heal people. So he goes and, I'm Naaman, captain of the host of the Syrian army, and I come here for you to... He didn't even open the door. Naaman sent his servant, said, can I help you? What do you need? Well, I come to see he's busy. Well, tell him Naaman's here. He knows you're here. What do you want? I'll be right back. He said, go dip in Jordan River 7 times. See you later. Wait a minute. I thought, see, that's what he said. I thought. That's where you mess up. I thought he'd come and sprinkle something on me, wave his hand over me, and I would be healed. See, that's what he had pictured. God's answers aren't always what you picture. So he walked away wroth. And the little maid says, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, let's say if you say, and I'm just making this up, ride on a horse in front of all the people with your, all your robes and your hat on, and you'd have done that, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. Well, how much more should you do this thing he's asking you to do? But I thought, let me tell you something. Don't go by what you think. A man's heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? And when he finally gave up what he thought and went what he was told, he got well. I mean, who would have thought, Brother Johnson, that they crossed the Red Sea and a harlot would take in those spies? A harlot. Now, when I think about the lineage of Christ, I don't really see a harlot in it, do you? But there is. When I think about the lineage of Christ, I don't really think about a Bathsheba that had an affair with David, do you? I don't, but he did. See, your thinking is corrupt. You wouldn't think that marching around the walls of Jericho 7 times on the 7th day after doing it 1 time for 6 days, that would work, but it did. I'm asking you tonight, somebody, abandon your thinking. Because as you think, so are you. Abandon what you think God will do next, but don't quit praying. Whatever how he answers, you've got to believe the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Abraham went up that mountain, with his little boy, his only son, the one that's supposed to be the father of many nations, and out of his loins will come all these kings and nations, and he's going to kill him. Daddy, I see the fire and the wood, but where's that sacrifice? Well, son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Come on. I don't know how he's going to do it. See, he didn't know how he was going to do it. He just knew he would do it. In Hebrews, it said that he even believed that if he would have slain his son, he'd rose him up again. So I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. You need to say that with me in your mind. Say it with me. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. So get out of your mind how he's going to do it and let him do it. Lest you say, son, I don't know. Let's get out of here. And they walked up there. And they go through, he ties his son up and he lays him on the altar and he takes a knife. The Bible says he stretched. Ooh, we're in the stretch right now. Somebody's in the stretch. They're being stretched. And he stretched and he got the knife. Now, again, I've said before, this wasn't how they killed those sacrifices. They did this. They cut their throats. And he laid him and right when he got ready to cut his son's throat, the Lord said, the angel of the Lord said, stop. He said, Abraham. He said, here am I, Lord. Here am I. What's up? He said, look behind you. See, we always think the answers are right here. He said, look behind you. And he said, there was a ram caught in the bushes by his old nasty horns. Now, he could have said, Brother Jay, you said you'd provide a lamb. That's a ram. Now, there's a difference between a lamb and a ram. That lamb, they raise it, and it's white, and it's no sores. This was a ram stuck in the bushes. Now, you got a choice. Do you go ahead and slay your son? Because God said, the Lord told me it would be a lamb. Or do you say, that's what God's providing. That's what God is providing right there. And he took that ram and offered that unto God and called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning God will provide. Hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? You need to understand that God will provide. He'll never put more on you without a way of escape. Sometimes your answers don't look like what you've prayed. As we sing tonight, I wish you would stand. You know, do like the computer. Use the trash bin and dump all your stuff over into the trash bin and give God a clean mind to work with.
I'll say,
oh yes,
Lord.